I'm speaking with Mandeep Dhillon. Mandeep Dhillon is a political organizer based right now in Mexico City, Mexico. She has organized on social justice issues previously in Vancouver and Montreal. Mandeep, welcome back to No One's Legal Radio.
Thank you.
Mandeep, you've been active in raising awareness about struggles in Guerrero, and recently there have been a variety of issues that have caught people's attention, in particular the disappearance and massacre of indigenous activists. Could you speak more about that? The disappearance was reported since February 13th, and more recently we've heard some very tragic news about these two compañeros.
Yeah, so the disappearances involved and the assassinations involved two individuals, Mixteco indigenous men who have been or were longtime organizers in the state of Guerrero, their home state. Their names were Raul Lucas Lucia and Manuel Ponce Rosas, and both were involved as president and vice president, respectively, of the Organization for the Future of Mixteco Peoples, which comes from a long history of other organizations working in the area, all indigenous organizations. And recently what happened was that on February 13th of this year, both men were attending the inauguration of a school in the city of Ayutla, which there's been just an intense level of violence and state repression concentrated in that area. And at this event, at which actually the wife of Raul was giving a speech, and the director of public safety of Ayutla was actually present at the event with a bunch of other, known people, and along with him about 25 police officers who were supposedly providing security to the event. At some point, I think it was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, while his partner was giving a talk, they noticed that the director of public security got a phone call on his cell phone, and as once he hung up, he actually and the 25 police officers that were there with him left the scene, and shortly thereafter entered three armed men who actually did identify themselves as police agents, so obviously agents of the state. And they forcibly dragged Raul and Manuel and beat them while they were doing this to an unmarked car vehicle outside and drove them off into a direction. And obviously no one really could tell where they were taking them. And that was basically the last that anyone saw them. After that happened, shortly after actually, Raul's partner got a call on her telephone from the number of Raul's cell phone, basically telling her, don't think about doing anything, or we'll kill your partner. And this is being done to them for having been fighting for the rights of Indians. So it was very obvious, that this was an operation planned by whatever state agencies, right, by the police and with the complicity of the government. And for days afterwards, obviously, starting that very day, family members of both men went to various police stations and went to the public prosecutor's office to file reports and complaints. They were told that no one knew about the whereabouts of their husbands. And initially, the prosecutor's office actually refused to put in a request for an investigation into their disappearances, and it was only later, as they actually started getting more support from human rights organizations, including the human rights observers from the UN that happened to be in Guerrero at the time, and then they kind of slowly changed their story and said, yes, we'll start an investigation and so forth. But regardless, on the 20th of February, in a town nearby, both men were found assassinated with clear signs of torture. Raul actually had a gunshot wound to his head. Manuel seemed to have been beaten to death, and they were buried, I think it was about 80 centimeters under the ground, so not completely covered, but lots of signs of torture. And and obviously, there hasn't been any answers at all from the government. The the governor of Guerrero has actually said that the government isn't, you know, responsible or wasn't involved at all. But it's obvious to everyone that that's not the case, and it's the complete complicity at the hands of the state. And I think the important thing to mention is that this wasn't the first time that at least Raul had suffered violence at the hands of the police. He'd actually been tortured, threatened a number of times since actually 1999, over, I guess, his quote-unquote career as a political organizer in Guerrero. And actually the most recent thing that had happened to him was just about the 15th of February in 2007. He actually received a gunshot to his neck during a raid at the hands of the police, but he'd been tortured a number of times prior to that at hands of police agents.
Mandeep, currently the G20 meeting is taking place in London. Mexico is a member of the G20. Mexico has been presented for the last two decades or so as a progressive state, as a progressive economy, as a country that wants to join the developing nations. And what you've just described indicates a low insurgency guerrilla war, an attack on a population. And I'm wondering if you can link up those two issues, the fact that Mexico is presenting itself within the OECD, within the G20 as this progressive state, and yet these, what you just described is happening in Guerrero. What is the link? Because obviously the two are linked.
Right. And I think I wouldn't, you know, deny either one of those things. I think both things are true. And as, you know, I think a lot of us know that the label of a progressive state or, you know, a democratic state and what that actually means, and, you know, Mexico presenting itself as this, obviously the war against social movements here, against the poor, against indigenous communities, completely goes hand in hand with their ability to present themselves as a state that's, you know, receptive and is a good environment for foreign investment, for corporations from Canada, from the United States, from Europe to be doing business here. And, you know, there's a necessity, obviously, to shut down any kind of organizing that's going on against, you know, the extraction of resources, against the exploitation of land, against the forced migration that's happening all over Mexico and increasingly in the south. And one of the activities that the organization of these men, the OFPM and other indigenous organizations in Guerrero, one of the activities that they've been, you know, involved in for the longest time has been organizing against the cutting down or the clear cutting of trees in the state. And there's been other massacres and assassinations linked to that kind of organizing. So I think both things obviously go hand in hand. And you don't even have to go to the south of the country, although Guerrero in particular is, I think, probably one of the parts of Mexico, or maybe the part of Mexico, where you have the highest intensity of that quote-unquote low-intensity warfare. But even here in the neighborhood where I'm living in Mexico City, or all parts of Mexico City, it's not, you know, it's every day that you go out that you see just armed to the teeth officers of the federal preventative police driving around in their trucks, you know, for everyone to see. It's done in a very visible way. And supposedly, of course, now there's all this discourse about the war on drugs and the strength of the drug cartels, which, of course, is a reality. But I think, obviously, there's all sorts of links between the narco-trafficking and government officials and police agents and everything. So it's just all, you know, this pretext that's being put up to basically arm the country to the teeth and to not have anyone speak up or fight back against these human rights violations and that are going on.
Mandeep, when you talk about standing up and fighting back, two compañeros that did so are Gloria Arenas Agis and her partner Jacobo Silva Nogales, also known as Comandante Antonio. They are political prisoners who were active in Guerrero, who have been imprisoned for more than a decade and were supposed to be released. You were involved in some of the support work and awareness raising around their case. Can you provide us with an idea of who these people are, the importance of their case, and why they still languish in prison?
Right. Gloria Arenas and Jacobo Silva, as you mentioned, were two ex-commanders of the ERPI, which is the Insurgent People's Revolutionary Army, which is a guerrilla or political military, I'd say, organization that still exists. And they were two main people involved with that organization prior to that with the EPR, which is the group that the ERPI formed from in the late 90s. And most of their organizing work was done, again, in the state of Guerrero with indigenous communities there. And both of them were arrested in 1999 and based on a gunfight, basically, that happened between members of the EPR and the Mexican Army in 1996. And during that that battle, there was one a driver of a moving truck that was killed, and two members of the army who were injured. Because of that event, both of them were accused of having been present there, and were given a number of charges. But you know, from the get-go, it was obvious that a number of things were made up. For example, even where they were arrested. For example, Gloria was at the time in San Luis Potosí, and a few days prior to her being basically taken by the members of the army and the police, Jacobo was arrested in Mexico City, but in the official papers it was said that they were both arrested in Guerrero, and just a number of very clear fudged, whatever, made up details to implicate them in these events. And one of the charges that they received at the time was the charge of rebellion, and besides that, homicide and a couple of other things. Initially, they were sentenced to 49 years in prison, and both of them were tortured. They were disappeared for a number of days, were kept at bases, tortured, and of course made to sign various things. And once they were actually presented before a judge and the process started, their sentencing was initially reduced to about 46 years. Later on, while in jail, actually, and this speaks to Jacobo's amazing resistance, well, both of them, but he basically has been working on most of their legal defense and has worked most of those things out. And I'll later speak to the conditions that he lives under in Altiplano, where he's been held, but basically those conditions are not, do not make it easy for anyone to be doing anything but surviving. And despite that, he was able to elaborate an amparo, which is a sort of an appeal based on an actual Article 137 of the Federal Penal Code here in Mexico, which says that actually if you're accused of rebellion against the state, you can't actually be tried for homicide or injury that came out of that event that's being qualified as rebellion. Because of that amparo, last year actually their sentencing was reduced to just the charges of rebellion and damage to private property. But at the time, given the number of years that they had already served in prison, we're talking about February of last year at this point, they should have actually been released. But what happened was that the same tribunal that struck down the other charges illegally retroactively increased the sentencing for the rebellion and the other charge. And so their sentencing at that point was kept at 14 years and a couple of months. They later, in October of 2008, put together another amparo challenging the fact that their sentencing had been illegally modified, and this is the amparo that the appeal that they were waiting on a decision on earlier this month or a couple of weeks ago. And of course, both of them, you know, have been very, I guess, ready internally and have told people publicly that they were very much expecting the state once again to pull some kind of either reapprehension when they were released, or again pulling up Trump charges to keep them in jail. And as we can see, what the state did do on the 12th of October, on the 12th of February, their Amparo appeal was actually approved, and they should have actually been released within the next 24 hours. And this is when the committee that's been working on their campaign and other supporters started putting out a lot of public calls, because Gloria actually extra officially got information. I don't have any idea from who, but while being in prison, got information that their Amparo actually would be approved. This was a couple of days before it actually was, but at the same time, the state was planning on reapprehending them once they were freed and probably putting up, again, trumped up charges to start a new process. And this is when we started putting out a lot of information to get people to start putting pressure on the government so that wouldn't happen. Basically, a couple of days later, what happened on the 12th of February, the court in Guerrero, which is where their original process was, put out the positive decision on the amparo. But as the night that people were waiting outside both jails and to ensure both their safety and that they would be released, we got information that when they were apprehended in another city called Toluca, there was another process also started up for the charge of being associated to delinquency. And this charge has a sentencing of 5 years. And now what usually happens, according to Mexican law itself, is that if you have two charges that are coming from the same event, so basically from this particular battle that took place, you should, once you're put in jail for one of the charges, you should be at the same time serving your sentence for the other one. So it's not like you serve 8 years for one and then the next 5 years start for the other one. But basically what the state is doing right now is saying that, no, you still have this sentencing from the process that happened in Toluca, so you have another 5 years in jail to serve. But it's completely, completely illegal for them to be doing this. And we, I don't know, there's suspicion that, you know, there was a change in strategy because of the pressure and because of the campaign, the pressure that people put on officials and the media work that was done in those couple of days. Because the night that we went, actually, there were people at both prisons. There was a number, there was a big presence of police officers and so on and so forth. And so what folks are suspecting is that possibly there was the intention to reapprehend them, but that strategy changed to using more of a legal argument to keep them in prison once there was more of a public campaign being waged around this. And so that's where things are right now for both of them. And, you know, like I said before, both of them have been incredibly involved, especially Jacobo, in the elaboration of their legal defense and, of course, the campaign itself. And so they've prepared and are preparing another amparo or appeal to basically challenge this decision and the fact that the state officials themselves had said that both processes were coming from the same events, and so that sentencing in Toluca of 5 years essentially has been served and they should be let free immediately. And so I think the important things to say, to mention, are that there's no actual legal argument or legal basis for them to be in jail right now, and it's completely a political decision.
Mandeep, you've provided No One's Legal Radio here in Montreal with reports and audio from a raging Mexico. We want to thank you once again for this report.
No problem.